You're listening to WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
Do you find yourself more enraged with every news headline?
Do you have crippling anxiety when you see pictures of starving polar bears on melting icebergs?
Are you shaking your fists at every new threat to bodily autonomy?
If you answered yes to these questions, we have an answer for you. Her Turn, WORT's feminist news, airs every Sunday at 11 a.m., and the Collective is looking for new volunteers to join us.
No previous experience needed, just a commitment to feminist news and a willingness to bring more women's voices to the radio. Call 608-256-2001 and say you want to volunteer on Her Turn.
Turn your anger into action. Turn your anxiety into hopefulness. Turn your discouragement into power. Volunteer with Her Turn right here on WORT Madison and make your woman's voice heard.
Hello and good evening, Madison. You are listening to WORT 89.9 FM, Wisconsin. Welcome once again to the Perpetual Notion Machine. I'm your mad scientist host for the evening, Wally. And with me in the WORT studio is my fellow mad scientist, Ian Marsden. He is the owner and mind behind the Turtle Island Dispensary here in Madison, Wisconsin. He's a native of Chicago, father of three, a true OG in being a community shamanistic type guy, you know. Ian shares his passion for exploring the corners of the mind as a business owner, as well as supporting indigenous rights and fighting the Enbridge pipeline. What's up, man?
How are you doing today?
So good, dude. So this is Ian. He has the code name Moon Turtle. He is knowledgeable about the hemp and the psychedelic side of Wisconsin, offering the flowers to the spores at his locations, East Johnson and State Street sometimes. I thought this would be a fitting prequel to everyone's favorite holiday, which is Oester, I think, right? The Sunday, we get the eggs and whatnot, Oester. Is that 420 though, or what?
I think it's a little bit of both. It's Marge Simpson's birthday too.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Wow, okay. Well, in that case, this is a good time to talk about what's real. So, Ian, welcome to the Perpetual Notion Machine here.
Thanks again for having me.
41725, man. It's a pleasure. You know, it's we're neighbors, so it's great to have you down here. Great to see the fam and like get to see radio in action, like the real side of community radio and like neighborhood business and what's real. So. Let me know, like, where are you from and like what got you into the business that you do?
Well, I've been in Madison for 22 years and cannabis has always been part of my life through my upbringing, but then also, as I got older to deal with the chronic pain issues I had with my shoulders, for a long part, I didn't really understand the differences between the benefits as far as medical applications and the psychoactive components of cannabis. I always kind of felt there was one and the same. And as science progressed and as I got older, I realized that there was ways of managing pain without being intoxicated all the time.
Right.
And it was a huge change in my quality of life, and I wanted to spread that knowledge to people in a easily digestible way. So that was the spark to start Turtle Island.
Oh, that's great stuff. It's an ancient thing that's been up and down, you know, our short time span for what we believe here on this earth and what we know from our ancestors and, you know, thousands of years of this as a healing medicine and a food and all that, and yeah, making it happen
And now we're building houses with it.
Right, exactly. That's good. Right. And which is also hemp is a really cool. I had a previous, I had Moonflower around here.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how, you know, we're doing the hemp industry, the low end, the high end. And it's what you make ropes with if you work on boats, you know. You want some hemp? It's like that's what, it's an ancient thing.
Yeah, they're also finding out ways to replace plastics with it as
right.
well. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Because plastics replaced it, but it's like, nah.
Yeah. Let's go back.
So, yeah, let's use it all, right? Let's yeah. all parts of the buffalo around here. So,
yeah.
So what is the state of hemp in Wisconsin, man? I mean, I know that's a big question, but
yeah, that's a lot of layers to that one right there. Are we talking about hemp for industrial uses?
Well, I guess, okay, why is cannabis important? Like, what we're talking 417 right here, you know, yeah. like what we're talking about the legal side of it and what's good, like.
Well, when we get into 420, we're talking about a lot of different components. We're talking about social identity for some people,
mm-hmm.
where they find that cannabis use kind of creates a community and it's a way of celebrating their community.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, it can have St. Patrick's Day type vibes where people use it as a way to splurge or to overindulge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it can have the good sides and the bad sides.
Too many four-leaf clovers. I think you only find one every once in a while, but if you keep finding four-leaf clovers, right?
Yeah, you're lucky. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I think, so lots of other parts of the world treat cannabis like more or less like beer or wine. You know, it's like something that people do. It's like hashish and tobacco and the, you know, all these things, and we have our certain ways of seeing it here, and they're all over the place as far as how the the whole world treats it, really. So it's cool to see it. As a biologist, like, hemp seed itself should be exalted as like a amazing source of the right balance. If we were like ants, we would want that. Like, that's what that's our perfect food. It's like the right combination of carbohydrates, fats, protein. Like, it's so, this is part of who we are.
And
just
also
like,
the
just
antibacterial
like right.
Components of cannabis was one of the main reasons why it started being cultivated, besides the seed uses
sure.
too. So there's also that, which really helped people have it, to be able to have potable water and also have more consistent brewing techniques in the beginning of brewing.
Yeah, so. Right. It's an ancient art. So, but here we are in like 2025. So, you know, I guess as someone who enjoys finding these places or as we go along, like, what, tell me about your business and like how you manage to, you know, what you sell, like what you're out there doing and like what you promote for the people.
Well, in 2018, they changed the laws on what was defined as hemp. So around 80% of cannabis products actually became legal. People who read the law, even in 2018, foresaw everything that's happening right now. So the people who read the law and really understand the cannabis plant understood that with the easing and restrictions on hemp, that they were going to be able to open up stores like this.
Mm-hmm.
So what we sell is the cutting edge of all cannabis products, whether it be intoxicating or non-intoxicating.
Like CBN? Like, what is CBN? The sleepy.
CBN is super fascinating. It's, in the beginning, a lot of the benefits of CBN were more accurately, or a lot of the benefits of CBD
sure.
were actually more accurately attributed to CBN, because there's little bits of CBN and all these CBD tinctures that people are taking. So
and
as
to break down
goes
acronyms
on,
too, so CBN is like, how they different too, like CBN versus CBD?
Well, it's a different molecule. There's okay. about 450 molecules that occur in different
okay.
abundance on the Thank cannabis you. Plant. CBN and CBG have been found and proven over the past 5 years to do a number of really amazing things that people are kind of attributing to CBD, but mm-hmm. it didn't really have the results every time for everybody. It wasn't consistent.
That's just one thing.
Yeah, CBD was kind of just like a hodgepodge of a bunch of different things
right.
when you got it 5 years ago. And then when they were able to find that CBN and CBG are responsible for allowing your brain to absorb dopamine, estrogen, serotonin, also letting your white blood cells communicate with your brain more effectively. And this is all research that's been coming out within the past couple of years. So when they found that out, they found out that CBN is actually the one that's responsible for a lot of the pain and mood stabilizing mm-hmm. qualities of cannabis. CBN is really fascinating because it's super helpful to get you a good night's sleep. You only have to take it in increments of 5 to 10 milligrams. So mm-hmm. it's pretty easy to afford it as well as to provide it to people. And there's been huge quality of life increases with people. CBG is fascinating as well because it does all the same things, but it's stimulating like orange juice.
Mm. Cool. That's excellent, man. That's so I love to hear that. Because I have friends and, you know, people are always fighting and they don't necessarily, they want the benefits of hemp and all the cannabis products, but they don't want to be necessarily, you know, on a hill somewhere getting high necessarily. So it's cool to have these recommendations for folks over the course of, as like science teases it apart.
And also the predictability of it now.
Right.
With the lab test and the ability to titrate stuff evenly, we can really predict what the outcome's going to be for people.
That's the gummies too. And so, yeah. You know, I was in Washington State and when it was looking to be legalized at a state level recreationally. And yeah, it's like, if you'd rather know what's going on and people, it is people's medicine. And then if you don't know where your medicine comes from, you don't have an understanding of what you're doing. And, you know, it's a basic human right to do a lot of these things, like the same way we drink like high concentration beer or light beer, like dad beer, garage beer. Like there's a place for all these things in culture, and just like a Parisian person would say, like, well, yeah, don't drink too much wine, but like have this concentration and know what you're doing. I think that's what we're exploring over the course of this change in Wisconsin. And we're in a cool place right now with that 2018 Farm Bill. So if we can tease apart a little bit, so in honor of Easter here, like what is THCA and like legal Delta stuff, or like what is like, you know, like why is that flower legal? Can you tease that apart?
So for something to be considered hemp, it has to have a concentration greater than 0.3% Delta 9 THC.
Okay.
However, there's a bunch of different THCs, and they all have varying levels of intoxication. When cannabis is growing naturally, and it's intoxicating cannabis or active cannabis, if you will, it will usually have around 0.1 to maybe 0.6% Delta 9 THC.
Okay.
And then it can have varying levels of Delta 9, I'm sorry, of THCA or THCV.
Okay.
So intoxicating cannabis has always been relatively low in Delta 9 concentrations.
Interesting.
Now keep in mind, in order for it to be classified as hemp, it has to be 0.3% Delta 9 THC.
Or less.
Or less.
Right.
Not more. So that opens up to about 80% of strains or cultivars, as we like to call it more accurately, to be legal to sell. Even though it can be 32% THC, it's 31.9% THCA. And when you smoke THCA, that's when it becomes activated. There's a lot of confusion out there that when you smoke it, it turns into Delta 9. Which is mildly true. That is the scientific explanation of it, but it's kind
That's
of misleading
OCAM,
to people.
Right.
All cannabis has been THCA rich, and
it depends how you do it, right? That's the thing. That's why you can ship it. It's just like it's a whole different type of chemical and related, but not the same. And it's
My opinion is that. Back when we were younger, the federal government was clamping down on states asserting their rights as far as cannabis law. And I believe that the federal government doesn't accidentally do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really believe that this is a loophole. I believe that the federal government wanted to assert control over the cannabis industry. And I believe they did that with the 2018 Farm Bill.
Yeah, because like Minnesota, even now, they have like a whole process. They're looking into it and doing it the right way. So a good time to mention that the views expressed on the Perpetual Motion Machine do not necessarily represent the board of directors of WRT nor the membership. This is just our mad scientist ramblings, as usual. Awesome, man. Well, we're going to cut to a song here and enjoy a little bit of Cypress Hill from our 90s radio days. And don't touch that dial. Time for some music time.
But thanks to Dr. Green Thumb, we grow in the backyard or inside with hydro. To the kush plant, crunching the tangerine dream. Tasty, blowing the smoke screen. Cycles of trees are constantly grown. Somebody give me the razor to cut clones. I'd like to stop, but it feels so good. 20 plants sticking up my whole neighborhood. DEA never wanna leave green alone. But never, ever, ever got a warrant for my home. What that funny sound knocking at the door? Sorry, Green Thumb can't talk no more. Please don't follow me into the sun. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb. For rehab, if I can't drive, then call me a cab. In my closet, the freezer's dried out. Like Gig said, ain't no place to hide out. I don't wanna buy no weed from no cop. Get locked up and they close up my shop. That's why I buy no weed from no one. That's why they call me Dr. Green Thumb, the scientific old mystical one. Growing my crops with the rays of the sun. Come on, come on, let's see how it's done. You see the pigs, there's no need to run. Cause some of these pigs are down with Green Thumb. But you never know what be the outcome. You see the photo in the album. The seed is growing like my Look, I never told you where I was from. Some call me Rebel, but I'm Dr. Green Thumb. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
So, Moon Turtle, what's going on? Why'd you pick Dr. Green Thumb?
That was my favorite song from eighth grade.
Dang. Old school.
Yeah, Cypress Hill.
I appreciate that. I was going to do some Ganja Giri. If you know Ganja Giri, you're cool. But look it up anyways. Ganja Giri. Beats around the bush. As a reminder, this is 89.9 FM Madison. This is the Perpetual Notion Machine. I am your mad scientist, Wally. I'm in conversation with Ian Marsden, a.k.a. Moon Turtle. And we're talking about the modern age of cannabis and maybe some other tips for your weekend. So what are you doing over there at Turtle Island? I know you got some good, you got some flower, you got some spores, you're growing stuff. What are you growing with spores?
Well, we can sell spores for microscopic purposes. Mm-hmm. We can sell activated spores with the intention of you looking under a microscope at it.
Cool.
They are viable spores, and some people in certain states do choose to grow. In Wisconsin, it's illegal to grow mushrooms. So
all right.
We can't give instructions on mushroom growing
that
for anybody. The state of mushrooms and ethnogens in general, mm-hmm. I do believe, is kind of where cannabis was about 10 years ago, as far as social acceptance goes.
Sure.
As far as research, and then also as far as like clinical uses, as we're seeing with ketamine clinics in Madison,
mm-hmm.
you know, mushroom clinics in other states. So I feel that, you know, with the acceptance of cannabis and with big business getting into cannabis, I feel that the, you know, torchbearers of our culture have a right and have a duty to start exploring other, even sometimes more beneficial substances than cannabis.
And it's an ancient art again, so it's in this wild world we live in where you can buy anything from anywhere in the world, having someone that can curate something for you is pretty valuable. You know your neighbors, know your shamans, make sure that you do what's right for your community. And as things change over time, it's good to have some people that you know in your own hometown that you can trust to talk about this stuff. And it's also something, it's a caveat that this is not for everybody. You know, if you're under 18, if under 21, under 6, under whatever, it's actually, you know what, we're not here to judge you or tell you what to do, but make smart choices and like realize this affects your brain. And we don't really even know what's going on. So, you know.
Yeah, we know like, what, 30% of what our
maybe function is. Well, so. Especially if you, all the inputs and outputs of daily life. It's So, you know, be responsible. Do you have any, as a shaman yourself, like what do you recommend for people? Like, I'm always about like a little bit at a time. Don't mess around.
Well, I do believe that would be a huge benefit to our society if we got back to some more of the old cultural roles that people had. I would never consider myself a shaman because I believe that had so much knowledge that to a certain extent,
right,
we've lost.
Yeah, right. We're like Homo sapiens sapiens. We're products of our environment. Like, so yeah, you're from Chicago. What was it like? Like, what's your, what was cannabis like in Chicago growing up, dude?
Well, I'm from the suburbs of Chicago.
Okay.
And cannabis was very socially accepted in my upbringing, in my community. Kind of like how alcohol is used in Wisconsin.
Sure.
I do feel that...
Well, that's a big statement, but yeah.
Well, to a certain extent, it's very ubiquitous. Like, people smoke cannabis regularly or use cannabis regularly.
Right, on the streets, like New Orleans.
Well, and also at social events and family gatherings and stuff. And then, you know, coming to Wisconsin, it's kind of the opposite. People would use alcohol and not cannabis. So I've seen both sides of it, and I do believe that, you know, responsible use of cannabis should be taught and it should be allowed before responsible use of alcohol. Mm-hmm. So I would, in an ideal world, if we're going to put age limits on people, I would say 18, 19 for cannabis use, 21 for alcohol, so we can help people kind of learn some proper self-control techniques.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would go back to the whole European style, which is that, like, it's just... it's all about respect in your own body and you're in yourself, and it's not about age. It's about, you know, what you think is good and being there with your parents and having some sort of sense of control and like exploration about it.
Yeah.
As opposed to like when it's forbidden, when it's the prohibition, that's when things happen way outside of whatever else. So
as we're seeing with fentanyl and stuff nowadays,
all that stuff. Exactly. Yeah. And that's so you can get a bottle of wine, you can have, you know, and it's weird in Wisconsin here that you can actually have your parents and be like, yep, this kid can have a beer. It's fine. He's 12, but I'm his dad.
Yeah.
That's actually the rule here.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And that's, it's more European than many other states. And I think being real and talking about it is
key.
Why do
we call alcohol consumption European? Because, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like. I don't know. Is the Europeans just kind of taking over that? Like, drinking us? Because there's other cultures that drink like
it's
that.
It's true. Exactly. You know? You're right, actually. You're right about that. I guess I'm, you know, whatever. I'll admit my biases. I'm German Italian. So, like, yeah. You know, both those, and American. But,
yeah. Well, Italian people have, being around having a lot of Italian culture, alcohol is a digestive. It's
aperitif, digestive.
Yeah. You know, also back then, sometimes the water wasn't good to drink.
Right.
So low alcoholic red wines was kind of a more.
Yeah. Like cider and beer was like a way that you didn't die of dysentery.
Yeah.
And yeah. So I don't know. I like to see whatever George Washington, right. He's on the dollar bill. You know, Ben Franklin, whatever it was. It's like, let's get back to just being real about stuff and not all this prohibition doesn't seem to work. So
I'm pretty sure George Washington married a lady who was like 20 years older than him and was filthy rich.
I mean, that means good for him, I guess. But anyways, so whatever, let's finish off with something. So, dude, how do you see like cannabis in 2030 in Wisconsin as someone that owns a business? 2030, the distant future.
I could see it going either way.
Yeah?
I could see, especially with the proliferation of stores everywhere, there being a need to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we get to a point where we have a couple hundred unlicensed cannabis dispensaries in a city, it causes problems. And
that was New York. That was happening.
Yeah, this just happened in New York. Yeah. And it has precedent throughout the country.
Sure.
What we're doing is we're setting it up for a need to regulate us.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of two things is going to happen. We're going to get a regulatory system and be able to continue doing what we're doing. Or they're going to clamp down and close us down like they did with all the glass stores in 2004 in Madison.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, if people have been around, they remember that. All the stores were shut down, you know?
Even for tobacco products.
A change in legislation can severely change.
Tobacco products.
Yeah, it can severely change an entire industry. And that was overnight. For people that were here in Madison at that time, it was overnight. Knuckleheads, pipe fitters, all of them had to stop selling. So,
bunch of knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Good shop, though. So, man, how is business, man? What are challenges and successes? Like, what's the uptake?
Well, there's always a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I bet.
And,
so you got two shops now, T? You got one on State Street?
Yeah. And starting a cannabis store, there's not really much framework to it. So,
no,
everybody's kind of winging it. That's why there's so many different styles and so many different ways of doing it. I got my start in the legal cannabis industry in Colorado about 15 years ago with the medical scene. So I believe I kind of have a lot of that approach to it. Is a kind of a small mountain dispensary is kind of where I got my start at. So I believe we channel some of that energy.
Both of us. This is your taste of like a fresh Washington and Colorado air carried on the jet stream to Madison, Wisconsin. So, man, it's
a little bit of
we're almost time to end, my friend. Man, I've been, you know, it goes so fast, right?
Definitely.
I've been joined in the studio by Ian Marsden. He's the mind bending enthusiast and local business owner at Turtle Island Dispensary on 800 block of East Johnson and also on State Street. Ian, thanks so much for joining me, bringing the fam.
Thanks for having us over.
I've been your mad scientist, host Wally. You've been listening to the Perpetual Notion Machine, our pertinent and slightly trippy radio collective based around science conversations. And this is WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Up next is Radio Literature. Have a great night.
I High Noon Saloon presents Natty Nation's Almost 420 Reggae Party on Saturday, April 19th at 7 p.m. Natty Nation blends authentic reggae with elements of rock, soul, and funk to create a unique Midwestern sound. Natty are joined by Czar, a genre-bending collective that blends the sounds of psychedelic rock with groovy, rhythmic soul and funk, along with your hosts, DJs Trichome and VPS. More information can be found at high-noon.com. The High Noon Saloon presents Natty Nation's Almost 420 Reggae Party with special guests Czar and hosted by DJs Trichome and VPS on Saturday, April 19th at 7 p.m. at the High Noon Saloon. Live music lives at WORT Madison.
Welcome to Radio Literature, Madison's weekly look at poetry, fiction, nonfiction, theater, and experimental writing for readers of all ages. Settle in for a half hour of conversation on radio literature. Here's your host, Melvin Hinton.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Literature. Last week I promised you some very special